Father, we thank you, Lord, for again this opportunity to fellowship together. And we say, blessed be the glory of the Lord, and blessed be the name of the Lord. Now we declare that the entrance of your word gives understanding. It brings light and gives understanding. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory this morning in Jesus' name. Let our fellowship be sweet, even as we fellowship around the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Again, welcome everybody. I just want to talk to us a little bit today about the power of faith that you can release by your words. Say to this mountain and it shall obey you. Now we all have difficulties and mountains in our lives that show up from time to time. Well, let's see if we can get rid of some of them. Praise the Lord. And Jesus, he showed us how. But before we get to that, let me say, first of all, that God is always willing, see, to back up not only his word, but your word as well. As long as your word aligns with his word and the heavens, the power of God that has been released in the heavens is at our disposal, it's at our bidding, if we understand how to use our faith. This is what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples. One time he looked at a sycamore tree, you know, in the book of Luke chapter 17, and that's a big tree. And he said, well, if you have faith, see, as a grain of mustard seed. And why did he say that? Because the disciples came to him and said, Lord, increase our faith. This is Luke 17, chapter 5. They said, well, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus said, well, it's not about increasing your faith, really, but it's about using what you got. And if you know how to use what you already have, even nature can obey you. So we were looking at a sycamine tree that was, you know, somewhere around him, and said, he pointed onto that tree and said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, might say to this tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, wow. And think about that. And while you are thinking about that, removing, uprooting trees by the root, moving mountains from their place, Jesus said these things are possible by faith. In Mark chapter 11, famous chapter, he said, have faith in God, verse 22, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt it in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, well, he shall have whatsoever he said. Now, between these two texts that we have read, you can say to the mountain, you can say to the sycamore tree, let it be plucked up by the root, and it will obey you. But say to the mountain, you know, let it be cast into the sea, it will obey you. Let's talk about this for a minute. Can we literally do this thing, or was Jesus just talking figuratively? Now, a lot of people think that Jesus was talking figuratively. Well, maybe, but Jesus did not at any time use any idle words. So if he said it, then he meant it. Well, if you have tried it, did it work? And if you've tried it and it didn't work, well, why not? There are some subtle elements that Jesus revealed in these texts. Number one, if you had faith. I mean, so as tiny as the grain of a mustard seed. Well, if your faith isn't that big, then maybe you don't have faith. Because, you know, that thing is really tiny. And then again, he revealed some things about how it works. When you say it, you must not doubt it in your heart. Well, maybe the reason it doesn't work is because we doubt it. Is it possible to actually say something and not doubt it in our hearts? And then really believe that what we say will come to pass? Well, it's going to take some practice. If you're going to go remove mountains and sycamine trees and stuff like that, well, you better have some practice. You know, but Jesus said it's possible. I have not seen it done. I've not seen a mountain plucked up and moved by somebody just speaking to it. But Jesus said it's possible. And if we have not been able to do any of these things that Jesus said is possible, then maybe we still need to grow our faith. We need to grow our faith. But Jesus is saying it's not the magnitude of your faith. Because the people said, well, help us to increase our faith. And he said, well, it's not about, you know, getting your faith to be big. It's just about you learning how to use your faith. Now, this is simple, but it is so vital. We need to know how to use our faith. And we need to understand the power that is behind faith. Now, let's talk about our lives and the things, you know. I don't think it's of any interest to anybody other than, you know, perhaps just an exercise, you know, going around and removing trees and mountains. However, there's a lot of obstacles and difficulties in our lives, for real, that need to be removed. I mean, mountains that are blocking our, I mean, it's just seeing, you know, you're looking at a mountain sometimes. If you're at the bottom of the mountain, it looks insurmountable. I mean, you know, completely dwarfs you. I mean, how in the world are you going to scale that mountain? Well, those mountains, they are there to intimidate you and make sure that, you know, there is no passage in your way and the mountain is blocking your way and so forth. How do you get around it? Are you going to be able to scale that mountain, climb it, run around it, you know, get around it somehow? Well, those are questions that we need to figure out. So, what are the mountains? I'm going to keep this very simple today because I want us to pray. What are some mountains that might need removing? And what is this business of saying to the mountain? I mean, Jesus is talking about prayer, but then he said there's some point in the, you know, there's some point in the prayer where you have to face the situation directly. You know, sometimes you pray to God. You know, and sometimes you say to the situation, well, you know, if you're going to say to the situation, well, be sure that you're not doubting in your heart. Because if you say to the situation and it doesn't obey you, your faith might weaken. You know, be sure that you're not doubting in your heart. That's, you know, we need to know how to use our faith. We've got to know that. And there is some power that the Lord has given us. Many of us don't understand that the Lord has given us such ability. But we got to learn it, see what God has delivered into our hands. I'm going to read to you two things here in the scripture and see how one person did it and how it actually worked in the Bible. First of all, we turn to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to look at, chapter 45, and we're going to read just one verse in verse 11. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me." Now, there are some people that don't believe that God could have said this. So some versions try to turn this into a question. It's not a question. It's a statement that God was making. Did God make the statement like this? I mean, the first part of the statement is easy to comprehend. I mean, ask me of things to come concerning my son. That one is easy. But the second part, concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. That one is difficult to swallow. So people say, well, that's not what he meant. It was a question. They put some Bible versions put a question mark behind that. As though God was asking a question. I mean, that would have been, if it was a question, it would have been similar to those questions that God was asking Job in Job 38, where he might have said, well, can you command me concerning the works of my hands? Some versions actually make it look like that's what he was saying, but that's not what he said. There's no question mark there. Telling it, that you can do this, and giving you permission to do it. Well, before we figure out, who actually did it, who has been the instructor of the Lord or known his mind that you should instruct him? Can you actually tell God what to do? Well, let's find out in this lesson together. Is it possible? I leave it to you to answer that question. Because all things are possible, the Bible says, to him that believes. But sometimes because we don't understand how faith works, we actually think that some of the things that God says can't be possible, and that can't be what he meant. Well, but who can do it? Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Isaiah 33 and verse 14. And who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Can you do it? can you go and ascend into the most holy place? The psalmist asked similar questions. Let's ask ourselves the same question today. Can you do it? Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? He asked. Well, who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Can you do it? Psalm 15 and verse 1. Well, let's see if we're able to do that. Are you able, as God was asking Job, are you able to command certain things? Well, let me, before I show you who actually did it, let me read to you one or two other things. These are questions that we have to try to answer. If you can answer it out, then God bless you. I mean, these are the things that God asked Job in Job chapter 38 and verse 31. Can you bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades? Pleiades, constellations, the bands of Orion, Maseroth, you know, the things out there in the skies and so forth, you know, in the heavens. Can you actually, you know, set those things in place? Or, you know, can you change seasons and times? Let's just put it that way. Can you change seasons and times? When it is summertime, can you command it to be winter? Well, you can't, because those ordinances God set in place. But there are some things that God, even though it looks as if we can't do them because they are ordinances, yet, if you have the right kind of faith, you might actually be able to alter those things. You know, canst thou do these things? He asked Job. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? You understand the ordinances of heaven? Do you know how they work? Can you set dominion thereof in the earth? Or can you lift up your voice to the clouds and cause the abundance of water to come and cover you? Can you do it? Well, absolutely. We've seen people in the Bible that have prayed. You know, I told Elijah, locked up the heavens, and then another time he prayed, and then abundance of waters came. I mean, can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say unto you, here are we, or here we are? I mean, can you do these things? God asked him. Now remember, command ye the work of my hands. So let's see someone who did it. How did they do it? And let's see if we can, you know, learn and try to increase our faith to do the same. In the book of Joshua, chapter 10, and verse 12. Now, in this story, you know, if you read the whole story, you know, there was Joshua was a man of war, right? You know, always fighting and different things and so on. You know, and, you know, there was this battle at Gibeon and different battles that he was in, you know, with Azekah, the Bible says, and Makkedah, and all those ones. And as he was fighting in certain places, he needed a little more daylight, because it was, you know, getting dark. And he needed some more daylight to be able to finish the fight. So in verse 12 of Joshua chapter 10, then speak. Now, I want us to just try to, you know, unpack this verse. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel. Now notice what he said. He said, Joshua spake unto the Lord. That's what he said. It's right here. But what did he actually do? What did Joshua actually say? You know, I mean, you might have thought when he said Joshua spake to the Lord that, you know, the next thing would have been Lord, such and such and so, because he said he spake to the Lord. But is that what he said? I mean, look at what he did. He turned to the sun and said, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon. And thou moon, stand still in the valley of Ajalon. Are you kidding? Is that speaking to the Lord? Why, absolutely. Command ye the works of my hands. Now, are the sun and the moon, that's the question. Are they the work of his hands? Well, I mean, do the heavens, according to Psalm 19, do the heavens declare his handiwork? Well, if these things are the work of his hands, well, let's see. Because Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. So all the things that are in the firmament of heaven, like sun, moon, and so on, they are actually his handiwork. And God said, command ye me concerning the work of my hands. Well, and Joshua was doing just that here. I mean, he spoke to the Lord, but It was actually the work of his hands that he spoke to. He spoke to the sun and he spoke to the moon. Now, if you can piece this together, then you can understand why Jesus would have said something like, well, say to the mountain, or say to the sycamine tree, and so on. Now, Joshua, he spoke to the Lord. In his mind, he understood that the Lord controlled these things. But, stepping out by faith, he didn't do this thing in a corner. You know, he didn't hide somewhere and do it just in case it didn't happen. See, that's the problem. You know, people don't step out by faith, you know, and challenge God and take his word and use it. But look at what he said. In the sight of Israel. He didn't say it in a corner. And there is a good chance that that thing wouldn't take place. And then what? He would be ashamed. What are you talking about? Who ever heard of such a thing? Commanded the sun? Commanded the moon? Come on now. But I call people like these trailblazers. You know, they get an understanding from the Lord and they do it. Whether or not it's been done before, it didn't matter at all. It didn't matter whether anybody ever stopped the sun. Didn't matter whether anybody ever stopped the moon. Now, Joshua, he'd been around some real power. He'd seen some things. He'd seen the, you know, the glory on Mount Sinai. Moses was there. He was right at the bottom of the mount. He'd seen the parting of the Red Sea. He'd seen all these things. I mean, he knows some things that, you know, God can do anything. And, but he's going to use his voice, his own voice, to say to the work of God's hands. And well, and what did the Bible say happened after he said that? He said that these things exactly took place. You know, the sun stood still. Now, the sun was going down already, the going down of the sun when he said that thing. But the sun refused to go down. He said he hasted not to go down for about a whole day. I mean, how do you do that? Well, Jesus said, well, if you have the kind of faith that can do it, you know, or you know how to use your faith, you can actually do it. So this is commanding the works of God's hands by your voice. You got to have some understanding, though, to do that. And I love this story of Joshua because in his mind, he's speaking to the Lord, yet he's speaking to God's, the work of God's hands. And that's exactly what God was saying in Isaiah 45:11. Command ye me concerning the works of my hands. Well, you sun, you are the work of his hands. You moon, you are the work of his hands. Therefore, hear my voice. And he said it, and it was exactly that. Now, can you do this? Well, what made Joshua special? Oh, I don't know. Maybe he's been around some real power. And, but he also remembered that God has said certain things to him that he should go forth and not be afraid. And the Lord said, have I not commanded you? You know, so go forward and do this thing. Well, and he was trying to do it, but he needed a little bit of help. Even from the heavens, he needed extra daylight to be able to see and win that, finish that battle. And then he spoke to the things, even nature, and obey you. If you know how to use your faith, the power to say to the mountain, he said, it should obey you. Say to the sycamine tree, it should obey you. So, can we make these things obey us? Well, it's for you to find out. I remember when I was much younger, I used to try experiment in faith, try to find things out. That's how my faith actually grew. And when I saw something that challenged me in the Bible, maybe the Acts of the Apostles, maybe somewhere, maybe Old Testament, I actually went out and tried to do the same. Sometimes he walked, sometimes he didn't, but tried it anyway. You know, I remember even when I was a young person, very, very young, maybe 6 years old. I don't know. Could not have been more than 5 or 6. Because I remember the house where we were living in at the time. I remember where it happened, and I know the years that we lived in that house. Maybe 5, 6, at most 7, somewhere in that, you know, time frame of my life. And I thought one day, I don't remember the exact details, but one day I believed that I could say to the rain to stop. As we were out trying to go and play in the rain, and it started to rain. How I believed it, how I knew I could do it, I don't know. Till this day, I don't actually know. But somehow, you know, at that age, I believed I could do it. And I did do it. You know, and we were out trying to play in the rain, I mean, in the outdoors, and it started to rain. And I don't remember the exact words I said, but I know I asked the rain to stop. And it did stop. Immediately, actually, as a matter of fact. And then, I said, you know, then I thought, you know, wow, this is really cool. So I asked the rain to start again after a few minutes, after considering the matter. And it started. Then I asked the rain to stop again. And back and forth like that for a few times. And I was so excited. And it was happening. And so then I rushed inside to tell my older siblings what I had just been doing. And they just laughed. They just laughed. You can't stop the rain. You can't start the rain. The rain stopped and started by itself. Maybe so, but, you know, that didn't change my mind at all. From that point on, I actually believed I could do things like that. You know, but, you know, people just kind of made light of it. Well, you know, sometimes, you know, the God might put something in you and give you ability to believe, you know, beyond, you know, what might seem possible or not possible in the natural. There's also something called the gift of faith. And it's a powerful thing. Everybody has faith. There's no question about that. You know, because if you didn't have faith, you could not be saved. But the Bible says it is by the grace of God and through faith that we are saved. So you cannot be saved without faith. You must have faith to be saved. Now, if you are saved and you're a child of God, then you have faith. Because you could not have been saved without faith. But we know that everybody also has faith for various things. And we use this faith, you know, in our daily lives. You know, things that we take for granted. That's some kind of faith. We don't think about it. You know, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 3, we're told that God has dealt everybody a measure of faith. You have it. Now, if you have the gift of faith, I mean, why, if everybody already has faith, why would then did the Bible talk about the gift of faith as if it is something special? We already have it. I call it the gift of faith. We all have it already. Yes, it is. There is something called the gift of faith. Those that have it, kind of like Joshua was doing here, they're able to go beyond, you know, the normal day-to-day things. Yeah, people don't go about their day-to-day activities and stopping the sun and stopping the moon. But the gift of faith can do it. And we see that it happened here. But Jesus is saying, well, if you have little faith, you can actually do great things. So let's try to develop our faith. This lesson is, that's all it's all about. And we're going to use our words to say to the things that are hindrances in our lives and move them aside. Stand aside. Praise the Lord. You know, so if you are trying to go through something, a road, and there's a roadblock, The roadblock makes sure that you don't pass through. You know, that's one time I talked on the subject of roadblocks. You know, it's there to impede your passage or block your passage. Make sure you don't go through that particular place when they are doing construction and they put roadblock there. They don't want you to go through there. That's why it's called a roadblock. The road is blocked. Well, the mountain or whatever else might be some difficulty that's blocking some part of our life from progressing in the right direction. And think of a mountain, how large it might be when you are standing at the bottom of that mountain and you try to look straight up. Because of the gradient of the line of sight, you may not even be able to see the top of the mountain. But to see the top of the mountain, sometimes you got to move far back. And then the line of sight, the gradient of your line of sight is not as steep. Then you can actually see the top of that mountain. And what do you see? The Lord was explaining this to me sometime ago, long, long time ago. When you're right there by that mountain, and that mountain is completely, you know, overwhelming, because you're, I mean, what are you against the mountain? You know, the mountain looks so overwhelming, but you're right there at the bottom of the mountain and you can't even see the top. It's like, you know, can I ever, you know, scale this thing? I mean, can I ever get past this thing? It almost seems as if you can't do it. But then when the voice says, stand back and see the salvation of the Lord, and then you stand back far enough that you can see the top of that mountain. And what do you see? Now, all of a sudden, you couldn't see this before when you were standing at the bottom. It's a parable of the kingdom, actually. One of those parables the Lord used to explain things to me. You couldn't see this at the bottom of the mountain before, but now you move back enough that you can see the top of that mountain. And what do you see? You now see this colossal figure that is standing astride that mountain. One foot here and one foot there. And it completely dwarfs the mountain that before dwarfed you. And I say, oh my goodness, look at this mountain that I thought was so big. When you compare it to this massive colossal figure that's standing over the mountain, I remember, he's the Lord of the mountain. The mountain looks so little. And I said, oh, what does that mean, Lord? And the Lord is telling me that, you know, there are certain things you got to look beyond. You got to look beyond that mountain and see the power of God. Is that what that means? Say, yeah. The mountain that you thought was so big, you stand back and see the similitude of the Lord. Over that mountain, it looks like nothing to him. It was so big to you, but to him, it looks like nothing at all. And then how do I align myself to come to the point where the mountains can be nothing to me? Now, that's the thing we got to figure out. That's what this lesson is about. You figure it out, though, by practicing it. You say it, just like Jesus said. You do it. He didn't say you should pray to the mountain. He said you should say to the mountain. You say to the mountain. You say to the sycamine tree. You say to those situations in your life. Speak to them. Praise the Lord. And there's power in the word of God. When we speak the word of God, there's power in it. How many times have I said that on this platform? Now, when you speak the word of God, the angels carry it out because it's the word of God. You can't make angels do anything. You know, some people think they can command angels and so on and so forth. Well, good luck. The only thing that you can do is speak God's word. You know, when you speak God's word, that's their command. Because that's what Psalm 103 verse 20 tells us. You know, and one time it's like another parable that the Lord showed me. It's a situation looking and the angel is there doing nothing. Say, well, why don't you do something? And he just folds his arms and stand there. And what does he say? He said, well, I've got my orders. Well, what are your orders? Get in here and do something then. But he said, I have my orders. And he's just standing there and his orders are to wait until you speak the word. Now, when you speak the word, he goes into action. He knows what to do, but he's not doing anything because he has the orders. He takes his orders from the Lord, and the Lord already gave him charge. Bible said the Lord has given his angels charge over you. God is the one that commands them. I already give them, you know, the orders. And the orders is, look, when you hear my word out of her mouth, you spring into action and see to it. Praise the Lord. That's it. And so he stands there. He does nothing. You know, while you are screaming and yelling, or being confused or frustrated and so forth. Yeah, he's just waiting for you to speak God's word. But the moment you speak it, my goodness, it goes into action. Another parable that he showed me one time, I saw, you know, I looked and I was like, you know, some angels just fold their arms and they're actually bored. And then there are some that are just running back and forth like flashes of lightning, and they're just busy doing stuff, going, coming, going, coming. And yet there are these ones just hanging around. Almost completely out of it, just bored. I'm like, why are these ones like this and the other ones like that? And then I found out that the ones that are running back and forth like flashes of lightning, you know, they are like the ones that are responding to certain people that are using the word of God. They're using the word. They hear that word. They move into action. What about these other ones that are here idle then? I'm bored. Well, because you haven't given them anything to act upon. And then they're just bored. They're assigned to certain people, but those people don't know how to say the word. So these angels are kind of bored. Just hanging around, waiting, you know. But one day, when you figure it out, they'll spring into action. And so we must learn how to use our word. So powerful. Today, we're going to do just that. In a moment, we're going to go into prayers. We're going to release the word of God into our situations. I know you do that every day already, but do it again today. And we must learn to do this every day. This is just a brief exhortation. Not anything you have never heard, but a reminder. Use the word. Command ye me concerning the work of my hands. That's how you do it. You speak to the Lord, but you actually speak to the work of his hands. You speak to the Lord, but you're actually speaking to the sun and the moon. You speak to the Lord, but you're actually speaking to the sycamine tree and the mountains. Get out of the way. Praise the Lord. I'm coming through. Amen. So, what are the mountains that we need removed today? Everybody has different mountains that's in front of them. You have yours. You know what it is. Between you and the Lord, you know what it is. But you can actually begin to speak to that mountain. That's what Jesus said. Say to the mountain. Say to the sycamore tree, and it should obey you. Can mountains actually obey us? Well, absolutely. I mean, can the sun and the moon obey a man? You know, it did, and we see it. Can the Red Sea obey a man? Well, we've seen that it happened, actually. You know, Moses parted the Red Sea, and all these people did all these tremendous things that they did. And we can do the same. Start by looking at the situation in your life. And let's use the word of God to speak to it. It's got to be the word of God. that we use. You use that word to speak to that situation, and you don't back down from it. Once you speak it though, you release that word, you cannot doubt it. If you doubt it, it's not going to happen. All those conditions must be just right. First, you must be able to speak God's word to the situation. You know the situation, you know the word. Secondly, you must not doubt it in your heart once you speak it. You can't doubt it. And thirdly, you have to believe that those things that you said will come to pass. And you must be in expectation. If you say it and you're acting differently than what you said, then that means you are not believing the things that you said. I've told the story here maybe once or twice before, of the community that they were praying for rain and everything. And the little boy, that's another parable that the Lord explained to me. A little boy that, went to that prayer meeting. And he was the only one that brought an umbrella with him. And everybody's like, they haven't had rain for a long time. But this boy, when he was going to that prayer meeting, looked around to ask his mom for an umbrella, and he took one with him. And when he came, everybody looked at him and said, "What are you doing with an umbrella? We have not had rain for a long time." Everybody said, "Well, we are praying for rain, are we not?" Yeah, that's it. That's your faith right there. And he put all those elders to shame, every last one of them. Because none of them, they were praying for rain, but they never really believed it was going to rain. Yeah, just praying, But this young man, he actually knew that if they prayed, it was going to rain. So he brought his umbrella along. It's going to rain. That's how you do it. There must be expectation behind those words that you are releasing. When you release that word, you believe in your heart. You don't doubt it, but you believe. And when you believe, you say, "Well, I have believed, therefore I have spoken. Well, I have also believed, therefore I act accordingly." And the Lord is going to honor that faith because he said it himself. "Command ye me, sign the work of my hands." Speak to those things and get them out of there in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to go into prayers. I want to take a session of prayers this morning and afternoon for you if you're overseas. Well, let's come at these things that are in our lives. We all have these things. Come at them with the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 89 that his word is forever settled in heaven. Well, let's make it settled upon the earth as well. It's already settled in heaven, but can we make sure it's settled in our hearts also? Can you enforce upon the earth the things that are already done in heavens? Well, if you understand the ordinances, yeah, why not? To make them have dominion upon the earth. So as we go into prayers right now, first of all, I will pray over the room. And then we are going to pray. You identify mountains that you would like to be moved out of the way. Whatever mountain it is that needs to be moved out of the way in your life. Well, let's speak to those mountains today. Or it might be another sycamine tree or whatever it is. Jesus is telling you that you can do all these things. And he said, one time after he spoke to the tree and say, "No man eat of you anymore." And the thing dried up and people were amazed. He said, if you have faith, you will not only do that which is done to this tree, but you say to this mountain and it'll be moved. That's another way one of the gospel writers reported it. So Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone that's listened in this morning. A brief exhortation on using our faith to change situations. Lord, we thank you because you said we can do it. You said we can speak to the mountain, say to this mountain, and it should obey us. We can say to the sycamine tree, and it should obey. Today, Lord, we are going to exercise that faith to speak to certain situations in our lives. And they must obey. And they shall obey. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even now, O Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit begin to bring to our minds the scriptures that directly relate to the situations that we're about to speak to. And as Holy Spirit bring those scriptures to our mind, we're going to use those scriptures to speak to those situations. Hallelujah. And we believe the Lord, and we know that it is done. According to your word, said if we would not doubt it when we say it, and don't doubt it, but believe it, that it will come to pass, then we shall have whatsoever we say, shall have whatsoever he saith. The Lord give us understanding in these things, even today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we give you, Lord, the praise, and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.